She once asked Ruin why he had chosen her. The primary answer is simple. It had little to do with her personality, attitudes, or even skill with allomancy. She was simply the only child Ruin could find who was in a position to gain the right hemologic spike, one that would grant her heightened power with bronze, which would then let her sense the location of the Well of Ascension. She had an insane mother, a sister who was a seeker, and was herself Mistborn. That was precisely the combination Ruin needed. There were other reasons, of course, but even Ruin didn't know them. 74. Day broke with no mists. Ellen stood atop the rocky heights in front of Fadrick City looking out. He felt far better with a night's rest behind him, though his body ached from fighting, his arm throbbed where he'd been wounded, and his chest hurt where he'd carelessly allowed a coloss to punch him. The massive bruise would have crippled another man. Coloss corpses littered the ground before the city, piled particularly high in the corridor leading into Fadrick's itself. The whole area smelled of death and dried blood. Far more often than Ellen would have liked, the field of blue corpses was broken by the lighter skin of a human. Still, Fadrick's had survived, if only because of the last-minute addition of several thousand allomancers and the eventual retreat of the Coloss. "Why did they leave?" Ellen wondered, thankful yet frustrated. "And perhaps more importantly, where are they going?" Ellen turned at the sound of footsteps on rock and saw a yeoman climbing the rough-hewn steps to join him, puffing slightly, still pristine in his obligator's robes. Nobody had expected him to fight. He was, after all, a scholar and not a warrior. "Like me," Ellen thought, smiling wryly.
"The mists are gone," Yeoman said.
Ellen nodded.
"Both day and night.
The Scar fled inside when the mists vanished. Some still refused to leave their homes. For centuries they feared being out at night because of the mists. Now the mists disappear and they find it so unnatural that they hide again."
Ellen turned away, looking back out. The mists were gone, but the ash still fell. And it fell hard. The corpses that had fallen during the night hours were nearly buried.
"Has the sun always been this hot?" Yeoman asked, wiping his brow.
Ellen frowned, noticing for the first time that it did seem hot. It was still early morning, yet it already felt like noon.
"Something is still wrong," he thought. "Very wrong. Worse, even."
The ash choked the air, blowing in the breeze, coating everything. And the heat. Shouldn't it have gotten colder as more ash flew into the air, blocking the sunlight?
"Form crews, Yeoman," Ellen said. "Have them pick through the bodies and search for wounded among that mess down there. Then gather the people and begin moving them into the storage cavern. Tell the soldiers to be ready for something. I don't know what."
Yeoman frowned.
"You sound as if you're not going to be here to help me."
Ellen turned eastward.
"I won't be."
Vin was still out there somewhere. He didn't understand why she had said what she had about the Atium, but he trusted her. Perhaps she had intended to distract Ruin with lies. Ellen suspected that somehow the people of Fadrex owed her their lives. She'd drawn the Coloss away, she'd figured something out, something that he couldn't even guess at.
"She always complains that she's not a scholar," he thought, smiling to himself. "But that's just because she lacks education. She's twice as quick-witted as half the geniuses I knew during my days at court." He couldn't leave her alone. He needed to find her. Then, well, he didn't know what they'd do next. Find Sazed, perhaps? Either way, Ellen could do no more in Fadrick's. He moved to walk down the steps, intending to find Ham and Set. However, Yeoman caught his shoulder. Ellen turned.
"I was wrong about you, Venture,"
Yeoman said.
The things I said were undeserved.
You let me into your city when my men were surrounded by their own Kolos, Ellen said. I don't care what you said about me. You're a good man in my estimation.
You're wrong about the Lord Ruler, though, Yeoman said. He's guiding this all.
Ellen just smiled.
It doesn't bother me that you don't believe, Yeoman said, reaching up to his forehead. I've learned something. The Lord Ruler uses unbelievers as well as believers. We're all part of his plan. Here.
Yeoman pulled the bead of Atium free from its place at his brow.
My last bead, in case you need it.
Ellen accepted the bit of metal, rolling it over in his fingers. He'd never burned Atium. For years his family had overseen its mining, but by the time Ellen himself had become Mistborn, he'd already either spent what he'd been able to obtain, or had given it to Vin to be burned.
How did you do it, Yeoman? He asked. How did you make it seem you were an Allomancer?
I am an Allomancer, Venture.
Not a Mistborn, Ellen said.
No, Yeoman said. A seer. An Atium misting.
Ellen nodded. He'd assumed that was impossible, but it was hard to rely on assumptions about anything anymore.
The Lord Ruler knew about your power?
Yeoman smiled.
Some secrets he worked very hard to guard.
Atium mistings, Ellen thought. That means there are others, too. Gold mistings, electrum mistings. Though, as he thought about it, some, like aluminum mistings or duralumin mistings, would be impossible to find because they couldn't use their metals without being able to burn other metals.
Atium was too valuable to use in testing people for allomantic powers anyway, Yeoman said, turning away. I never really found the power all that useful. How often does one have both Atium and the desire to use it up in a few heartbeats? Take that bit and go find your wife.
Ellen stood for a moment, then tucked the bead of Atium away and went down to give Ham some instructions. A few minutes later he was streaking across the landscape, doing his best to fly with the horseshoes as Vin had taught him.